So now that we know that Odyssey's working and, you know, who knows what else is happening, we'll just go ahead and play some intro music. Why don't we? We know that culture broad. She knows what to do.
That's it. It's over. Then we organize the death squads for the people who wrecked America.
You know what you call people you can't talk to? Enemies. And if we want to divide our society into armed camps of enmity, all we have to do is keep doing what we're doing.
A radical agenda. The event has turned into an opportunity for the left to push a racial and radical agenda.
Implementing their radical agenda is the only thing they care about. They're bad actors.
What they want to do here is ram their radical agenda down your throat.
These are great Americans. These are people that want to see great things for the country. You know, they try and build them like sort of a radical agenda. It's not a radical agenda. It's called the Second Amendment.
All right, on with it. Welcome to the Radical Agenda. It's a show about timeless ideas and news of the day and whatever's on your mind at 217-688-1433. Yes, this agenda is quite radical, and welcome to it. This 67th episode of the 6 Day of the Program. Today is May 3rd, 2024, being a current year. It's a Friday as usual, and we are coming to you live from my undisclosed location where... you know, there's no shortage of amusement in my news reading of today. There was Elon Musk says that he's going to reinstate the Twitter account, not X. There's no such thing as X, you understand? We're dead naming Twitter because we're not going to let Elon Musk go tranny up Twitter, okay? It's called Twitter. Anybody calls it X is a dummy. So Elon Musk said he's going to reinstate the Twitter account of Nick Fuentes. And needless to say, this has caused a great deal of consternation amongst Jewish war propagandists who fear being caught, you know. Musk, he laughably stated that so long as one does not violate the law, they must be allowed to speak on Twitter. Isn't that great? Well, somebody go tell that to those NAFOBots, huh? My experience may beg to differ. But, you know, it seems like whatever forces have designated that a Mexican child shall lead the dissident right of, you know, they have their say with Elon Musk, apparently. And so, you know, that's fine, whatever, right? You know, they can have Twitter, you know. He gets to run, you know, he could go on Rumble and he could do a, you know, a Nazi podcast on Rumble. Rumble's terms of service, the reason I don't stream Radical Agenda to Rumble is because the terms of service, so you're not allowed to do anything racist. But, you know, it's not racist what Nick Fuentes does, so he's allowed to do it. So that's cool. In other Judeo-centrism news, Candace Owens has parted ways with the Daily Wire. I didn't even realize that until today. There was another story I saw about it where they mentioned, you know, just in passing that that had been the case. Having stumbled upon the story of Magnus Hirschfeld and taken issue with Israel's ethnic cleansing of Palestine, her criticisms of Ben Shapiro's favored nation grew to be too much for the Zionist content mill to handle, apparently. The story was made more interesting because, as I said, I was reading something else today. It was actually by Glenn Greenwald. Candace, after parting ways with the Daily Wire, was like, hey, you know, why don't you debate me, Ben Shapiro, because, you know, you're so smart or whatever. And the Daily Wire was like, yeah, sure. You know, like, here's the terms. We'll negotiate. They did it all in public. And behind the scenes... Instead of actually setting up a debate, what they did was they went to an arbitration service, which is part of her employment contract, and they said the challenge to debate Ben Shapiro was disparagement and a violation of the contract. And the arbitrator, who works for the Daily Wire, because, you know, that's what smart people do, right? You enter into something, you'd be like, I'm in all the power, and so rather than go into a courtroom and deal with a jury, you're going to agree in advance to arbitration. And the arbitrator is going to work for me, and he's going to decide if I'm right. And so the arbitrator who works for the Daily Wire did, in fact, discern that the Daily Wire was correct, and now Candace Owens is not allowed to talk about it anymore. And so we'll see what happens with all that. I thought it was pretty amusing. There's a lot more going on. You know, I talked not so long ago about Hunter Biden is imminently about to sue Fox News. And so, of course, you know, like any... milquetoast conservative center-right, please don't hurt me Democrats news outfit. Fox News has caved, and so that's on the radar today. And plenty more. So real quick, though, I actually don't have the phones online yet. Let me get that happening. I'll tell you, interesting, you know what, actually, right before the show today, somebody in my building started screaming, call 911. And I said, whoa, what are you?
Thank you for calling.
What's going on? And somebody was unconscious. And they were like, she needs some help, you know. And I said, okay, well, I'll call 911. And then 911 was like, okay, you stay with them and you tell me if anything happens. And I'm like, but, you know, I got a podcast to do.
Welcome.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, now the phones are online. So anyway, but they're okay, I guess. You know, I'm not going to speculate as to what happened. I shouldn't say anything else. But that's what I filled up the airtime with while I got the phones online. And the phones are online. So if you want to call in, 217-688-1433, if you'd like to be on the program. And the more you talk, the less I have to. So please give us a call. Now, as I said, Nick Fuentes is going to be reinstated at Twitter. This is from Axios. Elon Musk says X, formerly Twitter, will reinstate the suspended account of Nick Fuentes, a white supremacist and Holocaust-denying broadcaster. And, you know, if you ever read anything at Axios, they don't write stories, okay? They try to streamline your news coverage, which is a nice way of saying that they're just going to tell you what their opinion is and make it look like facts. And so they say, why it matters. Musk's announcement comes as the nation experiences a surge in anti-Semitism incidents and months after his social media company lost a slew of advertisers following his decision to back an anti-Semitic post. So at Axios, they want you to know. So they're like, okay, guys, Elon Musk is going to reinstate this Twitter account. And that's the headline. Now, why it matters is because there's a lot of anti-Semitism going on. You understand? That's the most important thing that Axios wants you to know. That's when they say the importance of this story is there's a experiencing a surge in anti-Semitism incidents, of course. And of course, what they're linking to when they say that is a story in Axios. And the headline of that story is, I'll show it to you. You're going to think I'm kidding you, but it's true. ADL says anti-Semitic incidents in U.S. surged 140% in 2023. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but anti-Semitic incidents are not hate crimes, right? This is just when Jews complain, okay? So what you could actually say is Jews complained 140% more in 2023 than in 2022. And that doesn't really tell you very much at all, right? Like, what actually it might tell you is that the Jews have been behaving very badly, and then people are noticing the Jews, like, oh, shut up, Goyim, right? It doesn't mean that, you know, Nazis are running around playing the knockout game with Jews. Not that they ever do that. That's what black people do. Nazis don't play the knockout game. But you get the idea. Anytime Jews get uncomfortable and they go call the ADL and they're like, oh, some goyim looked at me funny on the subway. And they're like, oh, well, let me go tick that box off. Another anti-Semitism incident. Those damn goyim. We're just going to have to kill them all. And so that's what Axios wants you to know is important when Nick Fuentes get his account reinstated. The decision also came hours after Holocaust survivors launched a new campaign targeting anti-Semitism and disinformation online. Fuentes' X account was still suspended as of Friday morning. Driving the news, Musk said Thursday that he would lift the ban on Fuentes after a Fuentes supporter demanded that the white nationalist be allowed to return to X. Quote, very well, he will be reinstated provided he does not violate the law and let him be crushed by the comments and community notes. Musk posted on X, that's right. As soon as Nick Fuentes goes on Twitter and he starts talking, all those people are going to, you know, point out how those Jews are really nice folks, you know. They're going to be like, Jews didn't do anything wrong. And those community notes are going to be like, Jews, no, you guys are crazy. Bunch of anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists. It's better to have anti-whatever out in the open to be rebutted than grow simmering in the darkness. Well, like, Twitter actually has a hateful conduct policy. So, like, maybe you should go ahead and, like, remove that from the... Maybe you should remove that, you know? But that's not really the way it works. Some people get to do it and some people don't. Musk then posted that he couldn't be a defender of free speech and permanently ban someone who hasn't violated the law. Well, you know, who knows? This will probably cause us to lose a lot of advertisers and makes me sad, but a principle is a principle. He's a very principled man, Elon Musk. Fuentes was first banned for repeated violations of Twitter's content moderation rules in December of 2021. He was banned on several other social media platforms as well. He was re-banned in October of 2022 after he created a new account following Musk's official purchase of the platform. At the time, Musk said he didn't want the platform to become a, quote, free-for-all hellscape where anything could be said with no consequences. Fuentes, identified as a white supremacist in Justice Department filings, has questioned the Holocaust, criticized interracial marriage, and defended Jim Crow-era segregation. Wow, you know, don't make me like the guy. The Anti-Defamation League describes him as a useful puppet of our weaponized plan to destroy the right wing. No, I'm kidding. That's not what they said here. The Anti-Defamation League describes him as a white supremacist leader and podcaster who seeks to forge a white nationalist alternative to the mainstream GOP. Between the lines, Musk, a self-proclaimed free speech absolutist, has repeatedly claimed that he would protect all forms of speech on Twitter. In practice, however, the platform has been lenient to those who post hateful or extremist content while cracking down on speech that's critical of the platform or of Musk. Oh, well, you said he was going to be a free speech absolutist, but in reality, he's giving platform to hate speech. Well, those two things aren't in conflict, as a matter of fact. You know, if he's banning people who are critical of him, I don't know, you know, maybe you can question his free speech bona fides. But if you want to question his free speech bona fides, how about you call him a hypocrite? Because me and a whole bunch of other people are not allowed to use Twitter. And every time we do, you know, what happens is the NAFO guys come around, and they're a foreign intelligence agency, right? And they have a, you know, they have API access to Twitter. And so they just, you know, they create a bunch of accounts, they report you, they call the cops, they call, you know, if foreign authorities on you. I've told you this before, but, you know, some of you might be not have heard it. When the North Atlantic Fellows Organization, the Ukraine intelligence agency on Twitter, that basically makes up a bunch of fake anonymous accounts to, you know, push Ukraine war propaganda and to attack the enemies of Ukraine. I got thousands and thousands and thousands of, like, you know, reports and you know, nasty comments. People are harassing me, and I'm reporting them, and nothing happens, of course, because they're threatening my life, literally. But, you know, it's okay. You're allowed to do that on Twitter, as long as you're not, you know, you're not allowed to criticize Jews, but you're allowed to threaten the lives of people who criticize Jews. That's okay. And so they did this, and what happened was, as this bombardment of my Twitter account is going on, I'm getting emails from Twitter saying, not only from Twitter, but like, oh, so Twitter sends me the email on behalf of the foreign government, I think is the way it actually works. So it was like France and Germany both asked Twitter to take down posts of mine, and Twitter looked at my post and said, these posts are not illegal, so we're not taking them down, but we are required by law to inform you that these foreign governments asked us to remove your content. So, you know, this is the intelligence agencies. They're going and being like, hey, we need to shut them down. And they eventually do, if they really want to. A federal judge in California in March threw out a lawsuit filed by Twitter against a hate speech watchdog that has said the use of racial slurs on Twitter has soared since Musk's takeover. Anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. more than doubled last year and set another record, primarily driven by the October 7th Hamas attack in Israel, the ADL said last month. Of course it was driven by the October 7th attack, right? It couldn't possibly have anything to do with Jewish behavior. That would be preposterous. You know what happens? You know, because, you know, everybody in America is pro-Hamas. You know that, right? And so what happens is when Hamas goes and kills a bunch of Jews, all the Americans are like, yeah, fuck those Jews. And they start going crazy. I don't think that's actually what happened. I think that probably what happened is that to the extent, you know, first of all, the number's bullshit. But to the extent that there's anything to it, it's not driven by the Hamas attacks, no. If Hamas attacked Israel and Israel was like, ouch, everybody'd be like, oh, man, that's fucking bullshit. Those guys did that to you. It's that they went in there and started an ethnic cleansing campaign afterwards, which is something that's like their stated goal that they've wanted to do for a very long time. People got like bent out of shape about that. Now, you know, you could question the wisdom of getting bent out of shape about that. Maybe you think it's a good idea to go ethnically cleanse them. I mean, it's not a position I'm taking, you know. But that's what people are bent out of shape about, right? Nobody's bent out of shape with the Jews because Hamas attacked them. Nobody's committing anti-Semitic incidents because Hamas attacked Israel. To the extent that this has changed the life of Jews in any capacity, it is because the Israeli government began an ethnic cleansing campaign next door, right? And because they've wanted to do that for a very long time, they've said it over and over again. They have a project, they call it Greater Israel, right? They want to expand their territory. And to do that, they need to ethnically cleanse the other territories. Fairly straightforward. And they're like, well, you know, we could go in there, kill everybody. We could send them to America, whatever you guys want, as long as we get to control the territory and we have an ethnostate on that ground. Now, we'll have some of them, like, you know, we'll allow, like, some people to be slaves or, you know, servants or whatever. That's fine. We're not racist. We'll exploit people. No problem. But we have to maintain an unquestionable ethnic majority domination so that nobody can ever dare rise up against us in our homeland. Well, you know, if they weren't Jews, I'd say that sounds pretty reasonable. As a matter of fact, like, that's exactly what we should do, right? We should definitely have a place where we're the unquestionable dominant ethnic majority and nobody should be able to challenge our power. That's exactly what we want. But, you know, wouldn't want to upset anybody. 217-688-1433. You like to be on the program, and the more you talk, the less I have to, so please do give us a call. Caller, you are on the Radical Agenda. What's your agenda?
Oh, hello, Mr. Cantwell. This is Dave. How's it going?
Hi, Dave. What's up?
My agenda is I was going to overall mention, like, I see it's a price. Okay, so overall mentioning, like, you are about the overarching agenda of the Jewish community around the world, right? So basically, it seems, someone I just noticed that typed in the chat, Russians defeating Ukrainians, and I was just in this process of typing back to them. It seems to me that the Russians, I could be wrong, Russians, Ukrainians, and USA, all the governments seem to have a Jewish agenda as it is. So what's going on really in that department? Like, it seems like they're all controlled by Jews. I mean, that's just my impression, but I could be wrong. What do you think about that? First of all?
What I think is that wherever you go, Jews have power. They are part of the power structure. Are they in control? I mean, you know, they have power, right? They're not pulling all the levers, holding all the keys. There's not, you know, six Jews in a smoky back room somewhere deciding how all the levers of power will move, right? But they have power, you know, and they have interests. And so, like, yeah, they have power in Russia. They have power in the United States. They have power in other places, too, you know. And even in places where you don't think they have power, like Iran, they probably do, right?
Okay. Well, exactly. I mean, lately, I'm discussing with someone that who's getting in heavily into this whole thing now with the Bolsheviks. He claims to be of Macedonian ancestry, and he's freaking out over the whole Soviet Union thing where he found out that supposedly, like, you know, well, you know, the guy Yagoda, basically the whole Bolshevik, so-called communist Marxist, which is really, you know, Moses Mordecai Levy and his whole crew of his community, massacred like 60 million, probably like Russians and Ukrainians before even the Germans came to power with the Nazis. So he's freaking out and he's running around telling everybody all this stuff. So, what I was trying to say about that was, they seem to have that agenda from that era, continuing on into our era now, doing the same kind of very soft version, it seems, in America, obviously all anti-white. I don't know why, if it wasn't so anti-white here officially, then how is it that none of our agencies are just saying that this is wrong to be against all the white people and attacking us in all the institutions? And in our, and when we had the churches, although I don't necessarily support the churches anymore because they all failed us, and the one I've been going to with my buddies, they have trans people in there and everything. So, like, what exactly is going on? It does seem like they have the power, Not that it's necessarily just those Jewish people. It could be Anglos as well, because they're obviously in on it. So I'm trying to figure out who's doing it, like, or is it a combo? Jewish apparatchiks controlled by Anglo old money with new Jewish money from the printing press. You know, we've got so much information, Mr. Cantwell. I'm trying to, like, correlate this and put it into, like, a processor and come out with, like, you know, an assay, you know, an analysis of it.
I'm having a little trouble following you here, buddy. Okay. I'm sorry. Like, if you want to try to put a more precise point on it, I'll try to respond.
Okay, so this, all the stuff you're even talking about in the media and all these guys in your chat talking about Ukraine, Russia, it all comes down. There must be, like one of my buddies said, that the global apparatus is trying to wipe out all the original peoples of the world. And I'm wondering if it's not just the Jewish people doing that, as it's stated in their religious text, you know, that they will have the supreme rule. Okay, so bottom line is, I'm wondering, is it really the Jewish people doing all this, or do they have partners in crime, so to speak?
Well, it's obvious. Jews can't do anything by themselves, okay? So even to the extent that Jews have power, who gives it to them? You know, we do, right? So, like,
that's what I'm wondering. So I can't figure that out.
But well, this is the thing. So, like, there's no – power is not magical, right? It's not like a mysterious force. People do what you say or they don't. Right. It's just people doing stuff, and people have, you know, influence other people. Right. And so, like, you know, if there are people who are Jewish who have interests and they have ideologies, you know, hailing from a religious text. Right. Those people are acting out an agenda to the extent that they can, you know, to the extent that they can influence the will of other people to see it carried out. Right. I mean, how many what percentage of the world population are Jews? Not a very high one. You know, thank God. You know, and so, like, you
okay,
know,
so here's what I
go ahead, buddy,
to save you from talking, as you always say, to save you from talking. So I'm up here in Canada, and lately I went to a couple of meetings. There's some supposedly ex-military guy. He's going around up here and he's giving these speeches. And the speeches are regarding what's going on in the world with the white hats, the black hats. And now he's got what he's calling like the red hats. So he goes into the whole QAnon thing, and he is saying, literally, with Jewish people in the audience, where I was physically there with some friends, literally saying, like, you know, guys like Netanyahu is being pursued by the Israeli, since you mentioned that, I think, tonight on the show, he's being pursued by, like, the Israeli people, and he's in hiding with all of his guys, while the Israeli people are supposedly running through his apartment. And Jewish people in the audience are yelling out, hey, he's not really a Jew. He's a Khazarian. And they actually said Khazarian, Jew. So, like, I'm just saying that this stuff, even the stuff you're talking about, I'm just saying that this is spreading around. If an ex-military officer can be giving speeches in front of, like, 100 people at a time in various venues, and even the Jewish people are there, and they're not fighting with him, they're just throwing out more information to him. I just wanted to let you know that that's a development on the ground up here. And I'm up in Canada, and I'm in a very, it's like the fourth largest city in North America now. So, you know what I mean? I just wanted to give you that intel on the ground level.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, my friend. You know, I'm kind of skeptical of the idea that Jews are showing up to a meeting and saying that Benjamin Netanyahu is not a Jew. He's a Khazar. That's, I find that sort of difficult to believe, and we're not going to be able to prove or disprove that before the end of the show, but I thank you very much for the call. In any case, it's like, look, I mean, this is the thing that I've said, you know, for quite some time. I'm sick and tired of saying the Jews, okay, or the Jew. And I get that in a certain, you know, social circle that conveys some useful information, and it's not lost on me, and I still use the term, okay? But, like, you know, the guy asked a question, like, are Jews running these countries? Well, no. As a matter of fact, they're not, right? Like, that's actually just not the way it works, right? All of the people who are elected to office, you know, I mean, some of them are Jewish, but most of the people elected to office are Gentiles, right? They're white Americans or, you know, whatever other ethnic group they are. And then Jews influence them, right? Whether it's through money, whether it's through blackmail, whether it's through something else, you know, they're very powerful. They have, you know, whether it's Roberta Kaplan goes and threatens to destroy you with lawfare, They have power, and they wield it to the extent that they can. And if you would like to change that, then you probably should go about trying to acquire some power for yourself. You know, this has kind of been the whole idea of Surrealpolitik's, you know, frustratingly slow though it has been going, is that, yeah, there's people who are doing things that are not in your best interest. You can identify a lot of those people as Jews. They have, you know, ethnocentric reasons for doing those things that are in what they perceive to be the interests of the Jewish ethno-religious group in the state of Israel. And all the people who don't have power can't do anything about it. And so, you know, let's see what happens. Glenn 19 says $5 on Odyssey. Cantwell, what do you think about the anti-Semitic awareness bill being passed? It uses the IHRA, that's the International Holocaust Remembrance Association, something like that. Definition of anti-Semitism. Are you aware Biden is working on a deal to bring Gazans as refugees into the U.S.? I have a feeling some will be sent your way. I saw a headline in Revolver that Joe Biden's plan to bring Gazans here is underway. And I didn't see that headline anywhere else, so I didn't read the story because I'm getting sick of Revolver's clickbaitiness. And so I haven't read the story that I saw that headline from, but I've heard that mentioned. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, the adopting the IHRA's definition of anti-Semitism. Somebody hit me up on Discord about this and was like, do you think this is going to impact your show? I'm like, well, my show has been defined as anti-Semitic for a very long time. It's not, as a matter of fact, it's going to have no impact on my show whatsoever. This is just like the idea behind the IHRA, is my understanding of it, is that like this is going to impose upon the college campuses, right? Saying, okay, you're receiving, your entire, you know, the entire higher educational system is basically a federal program at this point. Because the federal government subsidizes the crap out of education. And their money comes from the federal government, which causes there to be too much competition for the service, which drives up the prices, which drives up the salaries, which drives up everything, right? And so when they turn around and they say, hey, if you guys are doing anything that this Jewish extremist group says is anti-Semitic, then we're not going to give you federal money. Well, then the colleges are obviously going to stop that from happening, right? They're going to turn around and they're going to be like, hey, kid, you don't have free speech on this campus to criticize Jews. Like, if you want to set the place on fire, you could burn your dorm down if you don't like Donald Trump. That's perfectly fine. You want to go rape and murder in the name of hating Republicans? That's perfectly fine. But if you dare hold a sign on campus that criticizes the state of Israel, that is what the IHRA calls anti-Semitism, and you're not going to be allowed to do it. And fine, right? Go ahead, do it. You know, like, anti-Semitism is already illegal, you know. It's just that they don't have a law against it per se. They're like, oh, you're against these people's interests, and so we're going to destroy you through the legal system, right? They come around, and they say, you better shut up, or you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And you're like, I have the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And they're like, not for long, you don't, right? We will find something to bring you into court on. We will bankrupt you. We will send you to prison. We'll put you in the communications management unit. And if that doesn't work, we'll kill you. So it seems to me mild by comparison that they turn around and they say, hey, if you want to receive federal funding, you better not sponsor pro-Hamas riots. And that's actually not like the most unreasonable thing the federal government has done recently, as a matter of fact, you know. Those kids who are like, you know, they took the campuses hostage and they're like, we're going to fight the police. I got to get my TV subscription back just so I could watch it when it happens. You know, I watched all day the day that they had the 2 p.m. deadline to get out of there. I was watching, you know, Fox News had to watch live on the website. I was like, oh, I'll watch that. But they were just, you know, screaming and yelling and nothing happened. And then, like, the next day, I'm informed that, like, they barricaded in a building and the cops went in there and kicked their butts. And Sorry, this is a radical agenda. They kick their fucking asses is what I mean to say. Libertariat sends $14.33 on Odyssey. For the IHRA, it's all about the triple parentheses shoes. They even have them piled up at the door to the museum. Well, you know, they are, you know, they like their shoes, them Jews. 217-688-1433. You like to be on the program, and the more you talk, the less I have to, so please do give us a call. And so, as I mentioned, you know, the Candace Owens thing is kind of amusing to me. I got an idea, Variety. Why don't you get the fuck out of my face with your stupid fucking thing? You pull up a news story, you read it, you go to another tab, you come back, and you're like, here's a full-page thing telling you why you should allow advertisements on our website. Fuck your fucking advertisements. Fuck you. If you make me view your advertisements, I'll just go get the story somewhere else. What do you say? Because actually, you're actually not that original, truth be told. You see that sometimes? That happens to me sometimes. I get, because I pull my stories up from different sites. So like NBC is like, yeah, you get five stories or whatever. New York Post, you get a few stories. And then they're like, hey, you viewed your free stories for the month, guy. You better pay up. Fuck you, okay? Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. I will go read the story somewhere else. You're not that smart, okay? Go tell me something that I can't find out somewhere else. How about you tell me. Why don't you go start talking about the Jews? And then I'll pay, and then I'll watch your advertisements, okay? And you won't have any, you know, because they run that industry. Now they don't run it. You know, we just went through this. You get the idea. Controversial right-wing commentator Candace Owens and the Daily Wire have parted ways. Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship. Daily Wire CEO Jeremy Boring wrote in a post on X, formerly Twitter, on Friday. He did not elaborate on the circumstances behind the move. Owens joined the Daily Wire in 2021 and hosted a weekday commentary show for the website. Shortly after Boring's announcement, Owens confirmed that she is no longer with the Daily Wire and reposted Boring's statement. Now, this was posted, this was in March? Shit, how did I miss this? The rumors are true. I'm finally free. Owens wrote to her 4.8 million followers on X. It's Twitter, you fucking tranny lunatics. She added, there will be many announcements in the weeks to come, posting emoji of the U.S. flag and a cross. She said fans who would like to support my work can visit her website, CandaceOwens.com, or make a donation to her Rev platform, on the Rev platform, R-E-V-V, which I looked at, by the way. I'll get to that in a second. Owen said that she will bring back her show on her personal YouTube channel after a brief hiatus. Owens' departure from the outlet comes after months of tensions between her and the Daily Wire co-founder Ben Shapiro over her promotion of various anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, according to Mediaite. Now, before I go on, this is pretty funny. This just tells you, you know. So, she's like, yeah, I'm fundraising on this platform called Rev, R-E-V-V. So I'm like, oh, what's Rev? Is that a platform where maybe I could go and try to use it for fundraising? And I go over and I look at it. I'm like, who's their payment processor? And they don't tell you. And so I'm like, well, you know, I'll go search their help for Stripe and see if Stripe is mentioned. And of course, yeah, everything, yeah. Everything is, well, you can do whatever Stripe allows you to do. And as most of you know, in the wake of the 2017 Virginia incident, Stripe went and banned everybody who mattered, right? So that's great. You know, nobody's trying to fix that problem. It's great. They do the same thing at GiveSendGo. They do the same thing at Odyssey. Everybody's screwed because everybody relies on Stripe and just whenever Stripe wants to. Just going to turn the lights off on all of you. It's going to be great. Since the October 7th Hamas terrorist attacks on Israeli civilians. Were there any military attacked? I think there were. But, you know, we don't mention that. Just the civilians are what matters to the Variety magazine. Owens has been increasingly critical of Israel's military response in Gaza. Quote, no government anywhere has a right to commit a genocide ever. There is no justification for a genocide. I can't believe this even needs to be said or is even considered the least bit controversial to state. Owens posted on X in November comments that appeared to be directed at Israel. Shapiro, who is a firm supporter of Israel, was seen in a TikTok clip speaking at a private event calling Owens' behavior absolutely disgraceful. I'm sorry. Calling Owens' behavior absolutely disgraceful, yes. Well, why would we adopt that? Why would we adopt that moral position? No government should ever commit a genocide ever? Why not? Are you sure? Are you 100% certain of that? I'm not. That's just like, you know, that's just like this. It's a self-evident moral assertion, right? No, you are allowed to go and kill half the population of a place, but you've got to make sure that they're able to, you know, reproduce so that they can come back and start another war with you later. That's perfectly, you know, you're not allowed to make sure that the threat is gone, you understand. I wonder, you know. I'm not saying that you could actually end war. I'm not saying that. I think that war might be an inherent part of the human condition or whatever. But I'm 100% certain if you're like, well, we're never allowed to kill all of the enemy. Well, then that war is going to continue for a very long time, right? You know, if you go in and you kill everybody, then like they can't fight you anymore. That's actually pretty straightforward. But if you go in and you kill a bunch of people and you're like, okay, guys, you better behave now, and then we're going home, all right? No, what happens is they grow up, right? The kids are like, oh, my God, my mother was, you know, killed in a bomb, you know, strike. I'm going to go get those bastards. It's the last thing I do. My whole entire life is dedicated to jihad. That's what happens. So, like, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, the Jews should go genocide the Palestinians or whatever. I'm just saying that the idea that no government should ever commit a genocide ever. I don't know if that's a very solid foundation, actually. Owens has used her perch at the Daily Wire to deliver commentary perceived as anti-Semitic. She recently said on her Daily Wire show that a Jewish gang in Hollywood is committing horrific things and suggested that Jews are going to be blamed if TikTok is banned via Media Matters. Earlier this week, she liked a post on X that promoted an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that Jews were drunk on Christian blood via Mediaite. In 2018, when she was with conservative student advocacy group Turning Point USA, Owens was asked at an event about nationalism, to which she responded, I actually don't have any problem with nationalism at all. When we say nationalism, the first thing people think about is Hitler, at least in America, is Hitler. If Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. What did she say that was controversial? Oh, she didn't say, oh my God, Hitler, and, you know, set her clothes on fire. She's like, yeah, you know, I'm not saying that all that stuff Hitler did was good, but, you know, if he just wanted to make his country better, that'd be fine. They're like, no, you're not allowed to make your country better. Shut up. The hell did we hire you for, Negro? Shut up. In a post Thursday, the Anti-Defamation League said, white supremacist and Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes is praising Candace Owens' vitriolic anti-Semitism. It's hardly surprising, but it doesn't set off alarm bells. But it does set off alarm bells, I should say. When bigoted people come together to push an anti-Semitic agenda, it adds fuel to the fire of hate. Fuentes, who amongst other things has called for a white uprising to back Trump as a dictator, said on his Rumble show this week that Owens has been in a full-fledged war against the Jews. In response to the ADL, Owens commented Friday, quote, I am grateful that they have turned their smear merchant guns on me. The world already knows my heart. Their attacks will have the opposite of the desired effect. Awaken world. Thank you, at ADL. In the March 21st episode of the Breakfast Club talk show, Owens told host Charlemagne the God that Shapiro, quote, doesn't have power to fire me. Quote, as I explained on the Tucker Carlson show, like Ben doesn't have the power to fire me, she said. And it's not even saying that we disagree on Israel and Palestine. I just think that he's obviously, his wife is Israeli. He spends a lot of time in Israel throughout the year. I think when you have an emotional attachment to some place, that sometimes your reaction to anything is going to be more extreme, you know? The description of her show on the Daily Wire's website reads, quote, Candace Owens holds nothing back in her show as she takes on the political and cultural issues of the day, featuring deep dives, investigations, and expo days on today's burning topics, except for the state of Israel, because we don't let those Negress whores fuck around with our bosses, you understand? Watch Candace Owens Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central. There was a little bit, I added a little bit to that. 217-688-1433. You like to be on the program, and the more you tell, the less I have to, so please give us a call. But that was hardly the end of it, of course, because, you know, Jews don't know when to leave good enough alone, right? If they did, then they wouldn't be Jews, and we wouldn't be anti-Semites. It'd just be like, oh, just, you know, okay, fine, we won, fuck off. But that's not how they do, right? Just yesterday, Glenn Greenwald posted this. As Daily Wire publicly negotiated a debate with Candace Owens, it secretly sought and obtained a gag order against her. Due to a prior restraint order against Owens, the much-anticipated Israel debate with Ben Shapiro appears to be off. On April 5th, Candace Owens publicly invited her former Daily Wire colleague, Ben Shapiro, to debate about Israel and the current definition of anti-Semitism. It was Owens' criticism of U.S. financing of Israel and her criticisms of Israel's war in Gaza that caused her departure from the Daily Wire 2 weeks earlier. Both Shapiro and Daily Wire CEO Jeremy Boring responded by saying that they would like to arrange the debate requested by Owens. That night, Shapiro appeared to accept her offer, writing on X, quote, Sure, Candace, I texted you on February 29th offering this very thing. The Daily Wire co-founder added, let's do it on my show this Monday at 5 p.m. in our studios in Nashville, 90 minutes live streamed. After Owens objected to the format and the timing, she and Boring exchanged several tweets in which they appeared to be negotiating and then agreeing to the terms and format for the debate. Owens had suggested the debate be moderated by Joe Rogan or Lex Fridman. Shapiro said he wanted no moderator. They ultimately agreed to the terms, with Boring offering a series of conditions, including a no moderator debate, with Owens publicly accepting. 2 weeks later, many readers of both Shapiro and Owens noticed and complained that the debate had not yet happened. On April 24th, Owens addressed those inquiries by explaining that the Daily Wire had yet to propose dates, while reiterating her strong desire to ensure that the debate happened. But the debate was never going to happen. That is because the Daily Wire is run by a bunch of Jews. I'm kidding. That's not what Glenn Greenwald said. That is because the Daily Wire, in secret and unbeknownst to its readers, as Jews always do, that's not what Glenn Greenwald said, sought a gag order to be placed on Owens after she had called for the debate. They did this under cover of secrecy before a private arbitrator at exactly the same time that they were claiming in public that they wanted this debate and were even negotiating the terms with her. To this date, the Daily Wire has not informed its readers, seeking to understand why the much-anticipated debate had not yet happened, that they had sought and obtained a gag order against Owens. When seeking a gag order to be imposed on Owens, the Daily Wire accused her of violating the non-disparagement clause of her agreement with the company. To substantiate this accusation, the company specifically cited Owens' initial tweet requesting a debate with Shapiro as proof of this disparagement, along with concerns that she voiced that Shapiro appeared to be violating the confidentiality agreement between them by publicly maligning Owens' views to explain her departure from the company. While the company claimed before the arbitrator that it did not object in principle to a healthy debate, it urged the imposition of a gag order on Owens by claiming that, quote, the way she requested the debate constituted disparagement of Ben Shapiro and the site. To justify the gag order it wanted, the company also cited various criticisms of the Daily Wire and Shapiro on X that Owens had liked. You're not allowed to like, okay? Don't be liking things that are negative about the Daily Wire. We're not so concerned about what you say. It's the ideas in your head, and we're going to control them, goddammit. What the hell did we create you for, monster? The initial tweet from Owens not only requested a debate, but also a video from the popular comedian Andrew Schultz, who had mocked the Daily Wire for firing Owens over disagreements regarding Israel, and specifically mocked Shapiro for his willingness to debate only undergraduate students. The tweet underneath Owens' original debate request included a summary of Schultz's mockery of Shapiro, which stated, quote, Schultz now, quote, realizes Ben Shapiro is only good at debating college liberals and can't win debates against serious competition. After the prior restraint hearing sought by the Daily Wire and Shapiro, the arbitrator sided with them and against Owens. The arbitrator agreed with the Daily Wire that Owens' call to debate Shapiro and her follow-up negotiations of the debate constituted disparagement of the company and Shapiro. The company argued that any further attempt by Owens to debate, as well as her suggestion that the debate would expose the Daily Wire's real priorities, constituted criticisms of the site and Shapiro, criticisms that the arbitrator concluded Owens was barred from expressing under her contract with the company. The arbitrator thus imposed a gag order of prior restraint against Owens. Among other things, the order banned Owens from saying or doing anything in the future which could tarnish or harm the reputation of the Daily Wire and or Ben Shapiro. Given that the Daily Wire had argued and the arbitrator agreed that Owens' offer to debate Shapiro about Israel and anti-Semitism were themselves disparaging, the Daily Wire has ensured that the debate with Owens that they publicly claimed could not, in fact, take place. Sorry. Let me say that again. Given that the Daily Wire had argued and the arbitrator agreed that Owens' offer to debate Shapiro about Israel and anti-Semitism were themselves disparaging, the Daily Wire has ensured that the debate with Owens that they publicly claimed to want could not, in fact, take place. Any such debate would be in conflict with the gag order they obtained on Owens from expressing any criticisms of the site or Shapiro. Well, I don't know that's true. Why don't they have the debate anyway, okay? This is perfect Ben Shapiro, you know, juice stuff, okay? Just make it so that she's not allowed to say anything negative about Ben Shapiro and then have her go on to a debate stage and then Ben Shapiro can just, like, call her a whore and a nigger and be like, what do you have to say about that, bitch? And then she's just not allowed to respond. And Ben will win the debate, hands down. It's a really great idea. When asked for comment to be included in the story, Owens replied, I wish I could comment on this, but I can't. She added, can neither confirm nor deny. Boring said, your story is inaccurate to the point of being false, though he did not specify a single inaccuracy, nor did he deny that the Daily Wire had sought and obtained a gag order on Owens at the same time they were publicly posturing as wanting a debate with her. The confirmation we obtained of all these facts is indisputable. Boring added, quote, I'm sure you can appreciate how fraught a high-profile breakup like this is. For that reason, we are trying to resolve our issues with Candace privately. It certainly seems true that the Daily Wire is attempting to achieve all of this privately. Nonetheless, Ben Shapiro, who has constructed his very lucrative media brand and persona based on his supposed superiority in debating, a reputation cultivated largely as a result of numerous appearances at undergrad schools around the country, where he intrepidly engages with students who are often in their teens or early 20s. Both Shapiro and the Daily Wire have also predicated their collective media brand on an eagerness to engage in free and open debate with anyone and to vehemently oppose any efforts to silence anyone except for Christopher Cantwell, especially those in the media. They didn't say that. Glenn Greenwald doesn't give a shit about me either. From expressing their political views. It was the imperatives of this media branding that presumably led the Daily Wire and Shapiro to publicly agree to debate with Owens over Israel and anti-Semitism in the first place. Indeed, when it became apparent early in the start of Israel's war in Gaza that Owens had major differences with Shapiro, Boring responded to calls from Israel supporters for Owens to be fired by proclaiming the following in November. Quote, even if we would not fire Candace because another thing we have in common, a desire not to regulate the speech of our hosts. Even when we disagree with them, Candace is paid to give her opinion, not mine or Ben's. Unless those opinions run afoul of the law or she violates the terms of her contract in some way, her job is secure and she is welcome at the Daily Wire. But a mere 4 months later, Owens, despite being one of the company's most popular hosts, was out. The company had concluded that her increasingly vocal criticisms of Israel, opposition to U.S. financing of it, and her views on anti-Semitism were incompatible with the Daily Wire's policies. All of those issues would likely have been the subject of a public debate that Owen sought and that the Daily Wire claimed to want. Instead, the Daily Wire has succeeded in obtaining a gag order that, on its face, prevents Owens in advance from questioning or criticizing both the Daily Wire or Shapiro in any way. Well, that's some Jewish-ass shit right there, ain't it? That is some Jewish-ass shit right there, if I've ever seen any. 217-688-1433. Let's see here. Glenn, 19 cents a dollar. He says, Kendall, are you aware you are an outlier in your support of the anti-Zionist protests? Your lack of support for anti-Zionist protesters, most right-wing dissidents I listen to have the opposite opinion. Well, that's good, because you know what? They suck. They're losers. I don't want to be their friends. I want to be a part of something completely different than what they're doing. And so anybody who wants to go and be like, yeah, the guy's strapping on bomb vests and fucking, you know, chopping people's fucking heads off are great. Fuck them, okay? That's what I've always said about them. I'm not about to change it now. It's like, you know, how many times, you know, fuck you, as a matter of fact, for even asking the question. How many long have you been listening to the fucking show, okay? How many times do we go through this fucking nonsense, this noble savage crap? Fuck them. Fuck you. Hey, man, I've been listening since about 2018. Sorry to hear the radical agenda is ending, but I'll keep listening to whatever you do in the future. Also, Lake Ronkonkoma / whatever town you grew up in. Oh, it's greater than whatever town you grew up in. Yeah, no, probably true. Mark Twain forever since 10 bucks. He says, appreciate the hard work that you do. Did I mention the guy the guy who said Ronkonkoma? That's Assmaster 33 sent a dollar. And so, you know, yeah, I'm aware that fucking, yeah, I'm aware that there's a bunch of people who are dumb enough to think that, you know, Muslims are great as long as they're killing Jews. I'm fully aware of that, Glenn. And you know what? Those people are fucking stupid. And like, you know, I'll reiterate once more. You know what got me into like the right wing? Was when I saw fucking Muslim immigration into Europe. Okay, it wasn't even, you know, Mexicans coming into the United States. I was like, oh, the Islamization of Europe is completely unacceptable to me. That has to be fucking stopped, and I don't care who gets hurt in the process, as a matter of fact. No. We're not doing, you don't get two calls on a show. I used to prevent that from happening, technically. And so, like, the idea that those guys are our friends now because they killed a bunch of Jews is stupid. That's really fucking dumb, as a matter of fact. And so, this is pretty fucking funny. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you call into Radical Agenda and I talk to you, your call for that show is done. You don't get to call back in again, okay? I'm gonna repeat that one more time after this guy's on hold, and I'm going to hang up on him for the last time, and hopefully he doesn't make me ban his number. 1433 from Libertariat-based Cantwell sides with me and Dan. Yeah, I mean, you know, all the stuff that goes on in the Middle East, it's like, you can blame it on the Jews if you want, and like, yeah, a lot of that's true. We wouldn't be dealing with a lot of the shit if not for them, but like, those people are not our friends. You know, those people are not our friends. I don't know why anybody thinks, like, you, if you want to do, like, the enemy of my enemy is my weapon thing, whatever. But stop telling me that they're, like, the good guys, okay? Because they're not. They're not. They never have been. If it were English people living in Israel, the Palestinians would be killing them. If there were black people living in Israel, the Palestinians would be killing them. If there were other Muslims living in Israel, then the Palestinians would be killing them. If the Palestinians controlled the entire Israeli territory, they'd just be killing each other and waging war against their neighbors, okay? They kill each other. That's what they do. It's not unusual. It happens all the time, okay? And, like, that's the most obvious thing in the world, as a matter of fact. And it's really frustrating to watch. Like, you know, I got really bent. It's part of the reason that I'm ending the show is I'm so sick of this crap, honestly. People are like, oh, what are you, not on board with the Islamists? The Islamists are our friends now. No, they're not. Shouldn't we be pushing this narrative? I don't want to push fucking narratives. I want to fucking know what's happening. Why the fuck do I want to push a narrative? 217-688-1433. You like to be on the program, and I'm waiting until the last I have to. So please do give us a call, and this will be your last chance to do it. I'm going to go do one more story. If there's nobody else on the phone, then I will end the show. Fox News might have heard. I told you about this. I don't know if I talked about it on Radical Agenda or Surreal Politics. Maybe it was even on the member show. But Hunter Biden was like, I'm going to sue you, motherfuckers. They did Fox News or the Fox Nation streaming service. They did a thing called the Trial of Hunter Biden, where they basically did this like theatrical mock trial. I haven't watched it, and now I can't watch it because it's been removed. And they were like, yeah, well, Hunter Biden's a crackhead who's getting money from foreign governments, and he's completely talentless and stupid. So why did they give him billions of dollars? It's because he's a criminal. And Hunter Biden was like, you can't prove that. The government of Ukraine and the government of China see my talent for smoking crack and banging kids. You understand? And that's a valuable service that I provide to the world. And that's why they gave me billions of dollars, which I've smoked entirely. And so he's like, I'm going to sue you. And Fox News is like, well, you know, we couldn't possibly defend ourselves in a lawsuit. It's like, we don't hire lawyers. You know, whenever anybody sues us, we're just like, okay, 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 whatever you want. Fox News caved on Tuesday and agreed to take down a special from its streaming platform about the legal woes of Hunter Biden following threats from his attorneys. The program, titled The Trial of Hunter Biden, was pulled from Fox Nation, the network confirmed, to Deadline in a statement. This is at... there's a place, deadline.com is who they made the statement to. This program was produced in and has been available since 2022, a company representative said. We are reviewing the concerns that have been that have just been raised and out of an abundance of caution in the interim have taken it down, the statement said. The Trial of Hunter Biden was gone from Fox Nation's catalog by Wednesday morning. The series teased, quote, a riveting look at the unresolved legal situation of President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. The program featured a mock trial in which Hunter Biden was a criminal defendant. Lawyers for the son of President Joe Biden announced on Monday that they intended to imminently sue the network for alleged defamation. The argument made by the attorneys was that Fox's airing of the blurred photos of nude Hunter Biden that have been circulating online for years equated to the breaking of revenge porn laws. Fox knows that these private and confidential images were hacked, stolen, and or manipulated digital material, the letter said. No, as a matter of fact, what it meant is that Hunter Biden's laptop ended up in the hands of Rudy Giuliani because Hunter Biden's a crackhead, you see. And crackheads, they fuck shit up all the time, which is why it's a really bad idea to smoke crack. And so, like, if you're a guy who's, like, you know, the son of the president of the United States and you're an international criminal who's, like, stealing billions of dollars and doing all this crooked shit, like, it's really important. You don't, like, you should not smoke crack either. But, like, if you're doing all of that really, like, illegal, crazy, lunatic shit, world stage corruption level stuff, can't be smoking crack. It's very, you make mistakes. And one of the mistakes that you make is masturbating on camera and putting it on your computer and then dropping the computer off somewhere. Then not picking it up. You remember the interview? Is that your laptop? I don't know. Are those your images? I don't know. I have no idea. I've been smoking Parmesan cheese. What the fuck do I know? Shut up. Don't ask me difficult questions. CNN reported a lawsuit targeting Fox News would be part of Hunter Biden's strategy to publicly fight back against conservative media. Fox News had initially defended its coverage of the president's son's protected speech. The network said in a statement obtained by Deadline, quote, Hunter Biden's lawyers have belatedly chosen to publicly attack Fox News' constitutionally protected coverage regarding their client. Mr. Biden is a public figure who has been the subject of investigations by both the Department of Justice and Congress and has been indicted by two different U.S. attorneys' offices in California and Delaware and has admitted to multiple incidents of wrongdoing. Hunter Biden's legal team had also demanded Fox News retract reporting about a former FBI asset who claimed he had firsthand knowledge of alleged Biden family corruption. Alexander Smirnov alleged that he knew about corruption involving the Bidens and their business dealings in Ukraine, but he was charged with making false statements by the Justice Department earlier this year under the Biden administration, you know. So basically, you criticized the President of the United States and then you went to jail. So they do that here. That's American policy. Smirnov has maintained he was being truthful and pleaded not guilty after he was indicted in February. And so, you know, that's what happens. This is why you lose, because, the Democrats are like, we are going to hurt you. And then you're like, please don't hurt me. And then you stop. That's what happens to, that's why people make fun of Republicans, you know, because they're a bunch of fucking faggots. They're pussies. They don't do what they're supposed to do. Hello, you're on the Radical Agenda. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I'm just calling in because I noticed that a lot of people keep talking about the protest and they want people to side with one or the other. But I think that the easiest is to attack each other and engage in the circular firing squad and see the leftists on campus deal with the people they've indoctrinated this entire time. And now it was great when it was BLM. And I know that you weren't able to watch that, but it was shocking to see what they let them get away with. But then all of a sudden now that they're pro-Palestine, it has to be stopped. And there's it's great to watch them reap what they've sown.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is one of the remarks that I had made. It's like, okay, these people went and they had race riots all through 2020. They attacked us in the streets. They got away with countless crimes. And they thought that they were invincible. And then they decided, I got an idea. Nobody can stop us. Let's take on the Jews. And now they're about to get their fucking heads cracked open. So, like, you know, I'm happy to see the poetic justice in that, frankly. You know what I mean? And if they get a lesson in the power structure of America and they realize that these are the people that you're not allowed to criticize, you know, maybe they'll actually do something about it. Because even on the even on the college campuses, they'll all insist that it's not anti-Semitic, right? They're like, no. We're just against white colonialism, you understand? This is all their anti-white nonsense just applied to the Jews. And the Jews don't want to turn around and say, hey, we're not white, leave us alone, right? It's just, you know, they're just like, hey, shut the fuck up. You know, that's all they've got. You know, the same thing they did to Candace Owens. Just shut your fucking mouth, Goyim. And so, like, you know, and so I think that nobody's going to, neither side, the Jews are not helped by this. The left is going to get completely wrecked by it, okay? And we should certainly hope that the left gets wrecked by it. We should hope that the radical left is left completely rudderless, okay? That they go and they decapitate all of their organizations and all those angry, violent criminals that they've been organizing in the streets have no organization whatsoever, so that all those mentally ill, violent, deranged people that they've been training for militancy are just lone wolf bombers and shooters, okay? And then when those people go out and they go and they kill people, then all of the intelligence apparatus is going to go and stomp them the fuck out. And that's going to be good for the future of the country, okay? Because the left-wing protesters are not going to remove the Jews from power, right? But the Jews can remove the left, and that's perfectly fine with me.
It kind of reminds me of the way that the West has been dealing with the Ukraine situation, where they've just been needling Russia this entire time, slowly taking over the Ukrainian government. They've been slowly increasing their influence despite promising they wouldn't. And then finally they just crossed the bridge and Putin said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to put a stop to it. And then they're like, oh no, the consequences of my actions, how terrible.
Yeah. I mean, this is, that's exactly what happens. Okay. You know, it in war, you know, in war, the aggressor is the one who makes his enemy fire the first shot, okay? It's not the person, you know, the people think, oh, my God, Putin crossed the bridge, and therefore the war began, right? Say, oh, the conflict began on October 7th. The conflict began in 20, you know. No. You know, the conflict always begins much earlier. It's the aggressor is the one who makes the enemy fire the first shot. And that's, you know, that's what happened in Israel. That's what happened in Ukraine. That's what's happening here. And it's how war works, you know.
Yeah, I think that to your point about the Palestinians fighting other people and fighting each other, it if you saw Biden had his big statement where he had the port that's going to bring all the relief supplies into Gaza, there is literally a border crossing at Rafah. Like, there's a land bridge between Egypt and Gaza, and the Egyptians won't open it because they don't want the Palestinians coming into their country. And yet, we're going out of our way to build this giant seaport to bring in relief supplies when you could literally just drive them across the border if the Egyptians would allow Palestinians into their country.
Well, right, exactly, because the Egyptians have the good sense to enforce their immigration laws and America doesn't, you know. And so, you know, that's exactly it. The Egyptians don't want them. Nobody else wants them. Even the Iranians, you know, Iran uses the Palestinian cause as like, you know, a political agitation, but they don't actually like them. Right. And so, like, the idea that these are that this is civilization just being kept down by Jews, it's nuts. It's completely insane. And like, you know, I just have no patience for all this stuff that, like, fine, you want to say, like, you know, fuck the Jews. Fine. I don't care if, you know, if they go kill a bunch of Jews, I don't care. It's not my problem. I'm not worried about it. I don't want to finance the fucking Jewish military. I don't want to tell them to go. I don't want to help them. I don't want to go send nuclear fucking carriers to the goddamn area to go protect them from all the other countries that are coming and invade them and stop the shit from happening. I don't want any of that. But, you know, this idea that, you know, these guys are our friends now, that's fucking preposterous. So I thank you very much for the call, my friend. 217-688-1433. I don't know why I'm telling you the number. I'm going to end the show. It's a little over an hour. And we'll be back Monday, of course, for Surreal Politics. We'll be back Wednesday for the member show. And a week from today, we'll be back again for the Radical Agenda. I'll tell you, I'm currently putting together the finale of the Radical Agenda. You know, we're gonna end stage 6. We have no announcement of plans for stage 7. Is it possible that there's another, you know, is there a possibility that there's a Radical Agenda stage 7? I'm not going to rule it out. But for now, it's going to be the end of the show. And so I'm actually, you know, it's a part of me, it's, you know, mixed feelings about that, right? I'm looking forward to concluding it gracefully. I'm looking forward to hearing from you when we do. I've been working on this actually for a long time, for years. I started writing at something titled The Beginning and End of the Radical Agenda in 2019. And I've, you know, put some work into that from time to time. And we'll have it together and conclude this thing gracefully. And I'm going to be doing, I don't know exactly how many days a week I'll do it, but we'll basically just do like an hour news show is going to be the idea. And I'm going to do the what we've been calling the grinder calls, but what I'm going to try to do is find other avenues to get conversations going. And so we'll basically have two things going on in addition to Surreal Politics. And so I'm going to keep on producing stuff. It's just the branding is, you know, it's not the show anymore. It's not what it used to be. So we're going to do something else, and we're going to call it something else instead of doing something else and calling it the Radical Agenda, because I don't want to debase, you know, what it was that I created and that I was very, very proud of, okay? And so thank you very much for tuning into the show. Thank you very possible, those of you who pay go out by name. And AskMaster33 says, sends another dollar. It's a win-win for us. The Jews got exposed and the leftists get beat down. I'm content to sit back and laugh. Glenn19, I did not mean to piss you off. I am not an old fan, Cantwell. Only started listening recently. I wasn't sure if you were aware that you have a very different outlook from everyone else. I won't bring up you being an outlier again in the future. Well, thanks, Glenn. You know, you could bring up me being an outlier, but, like, literally in the last, you know, I don't know when you started listening, but it's not, you know, last week. This has come up a bunch of times, and so, like, you know, maybe I'm reading you wrong, but, you know, one of the things that happens, just so you understand, is that there's people who want to, you know, disrupt what we're doing. And the way that they do that is to stoke conflict between us. This is why there's always people trying to get me into a fight with TRS, okay? They wrote about this. It's not a theory. It's like literally they said, we're going to do this. And so now they've got, and they've gone so far as to like deploy the AI stuff. They've got chatbots doing these things. It's, you know, it's artificial intelligence driving conflicts in some cases. And so, like, you know, I'm really averse to being like, oh, well, you're in conflict with this guy. Why don't you go talk about it? Like, no, why do I want to do that? You know, like, go let him do his thing. I'll do my thing, whatever. So thank you, Glenn, Libertariat, Assmaster, Mark Twain Forever. I appreciate all of you for paying for the show tonight. If you are somebody who has not paid for the show in a long time, you want to do that, that'd be a great idea. ChristopherCantwell.net/donate will get you all of the crypto keys and all that stuff. If you want to go to givesendgo.com/SPM, you can certainly do that. That'll let you sign up SPM, like Surreal Politics Media. You can do a one-time donation. You can do a recurring donation. You can become a SurrealPolitics.com member, SurrealPolitics.com/join. That'll get you members-only content at SurrealPolitics.com, at members at FullHouseMembers.com, and at ChristopherCantwell.net. And we're going to be doing more and more and more stuff. So that's a great idea. If you want to get Radical Agenda merch before it's all gone, at the end of the show, surrealpolitics.com/shop, get a t-shirt, get a hat, whatever you want. You know, I got that Cash App, Edgy Chris. You can send me Cash App, and I'd really appreciate it. Okay. So however it is, you want to go ahead and do that, I'd be appreciated. And we'll be back Monday, if not sooner. Thank you very much for tuning into the Radical Agenda. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Good night.
That's it. It's over. Then we organize the death squads for the people who wrecked America.
You know what you call people you can't talk to? Enemies. And if we want to divide our society into armed camps of enmity, all we have to do is keep doing what we're doing.
A radical agenda. The event has turned into an opportunity for the left to push a racial and radical agenda.
Implementing their radical agenda is the only thing they care about. They're bad actors.
What they want to do here is ram their radical agenda down your throat.
These are great Americans. These are people that want to see great things for the country. You know, they try and build them like sort of a radical agenda. It's not a radical agenda. It's called the Second Amendment.
Fuck you, pay me.